Lab.
Homo
Lab.
Homo Lab 63. Commence record.
So there's an amazing New Order song. Do you remember January 1963 when Johnny came home with a gift from me?
I think 63 is a good year. Dusty was like at her highest beehive. And
how was the wine from 63, Miss Wine Connoisseur?
I haven't got any bottles of Bordeaux 63.
There's a famous Porto 63.
Yeah. It is
port weather. It's getting into port weather. We should say we fell on air as we normally do. Amy, the wine expert, that's Amy LeMay. Lucio Buffoni, he's really big in port.
Yes, and Lucio has a man in every port. I'll leave it at that. Yeah. But anyway, that's Balin Leonard.
Our Tennessee sipping whiskey correspondent.
Yeah, I'm really good at bourbons.
I love bourbon. You know what? I never really kind of got into bourbon. And then I went on that cocktail trail for London Cocktail Week and had this shot of bourbon followed by a shot of pickle juice.
Oh,
and
yeah.
It was just like the most orgasmic thing I've ever had
really?
In my entire life.
Amy,
it was amazing.
No.
It was great.
Well, Amy,
oh
you know
God.
My history with pickle juice.
Yeah.
I mean, when I was a kid, I
that's
know,
what you lived on. That's what you
yeah.
grew up on.
Well, yeah. Them's vitamins in there.
It's so Moorish pickle juice.
It is. I had a friend, Claude, who used to come round to my house after school, and he used to like drink the pickle juice, and we just thought it was the most hilarious thing in the world.
Mm.
But little did I know, down in the South,
wow.
Well, my mom would
nectar.
Never. My mom would never let me drink too much of it because she said it would draw my blood. But your mother uses pickle juice in her potato salad recipe.
She does. Yeah. Pickle
so,
juice is like the secret ingredient.
Wow.
In
the
America.
Point of all this is don't throw out your pickle
no
juice.
No way.
So,
we've got a jam-packed show coming up for you. We've got oh my gosh, Margaret Cho is back.
Margaret
with us.
Cho is
amazing.
Back in London town and. And our friend David Mills, who is fast becoming quite the name on the stand-up circuit, is opening for her here in Leicester Square. And they recorded a little backstage chat for us. So we're going to have that later. We're also going to have our worldwide correspondent, La Big J. He blogs about traveling the world. And he is sending us a report from Shanghai. And it turns out that if I ever want to change my career, I could just move to Shanghai. You'll find out why when you listen to that.
You're going
to
be doing the competition
yes,
this week,
it's your
you?
Final chance. If you've not entered yet, your final chance to win a hotel stay in London. You decide when you want to take it. It will put you up with a friend for the night.
That's not true.
We'll put you up with a
with
friend.
With a friend? What are you talking about?
With a partner? We'll put you. Well, there's two people can.
Oh,
I thought
you meant
room.
You have to, the competition is to stay with a friend of
yeah,
ours.
Yeah, I was like, that, nobody's going to want that.
No, the competition is actually to win a 2-night stay for you and a friend at a very, very posh, lovely design hotel that is also gay friendly here in London.
Yeah, that sounds much better than the way you delivered it.
Courtesy of World Rainbow Hotels. Okay, that is the competition we're running. I don't know whether you've been aware of this little podcast we've been
doing. Give away
it sounded like you were going to put somebody up with a friend of yours in Kennington
your
Road.
Yeah, that's you're not a winner if that happens.
No.
And of course, we're going to have all the latest news from our friends at Gay Star News. But first of all, winter's come to town this week. How's it been for you? What have you been up to, Miss LeMay?
Been back. And we went and had dinner at friends in Kennington down near neck of the woods, and we kind of got on the wrong bus back home, and Jenny was like, oh, we'll just hop on the first bus. So we hopped on the first bus, which took us to Trafalgar Square. And so we got off the bus in Trafalgar Square, and we're going to change buses, and it was like, I don't know, like about midnight. About midnight or something. Got off the bus. We were sort of walking arm in arm across Trafalgar Square, and this guy started shouting the most horrific homophobic abuse at us. Like, I'm not even going to repeat it because it was so disgusting. But it was really scary, and like my natural reaction when that happened, I mean, it very rarely happens to me, you know? Mm. I mean, I would, you know, thank God I've not really been, you know, experienced that much firsthand. He was a Jamaican guy, which was, you know, quite disturbing as well. And he was obviously like really drunk and quite hyped up. Do you know what I mean?
Mm.
So like I turned around and like my natural reaction is to kind of say, like, fuck off back to suburbia or something. Do you know what I mean?
Well,
and like
of course.
I turned around and he just started like, he just got like really quite physical, you know, like, you know, when it looks like somebody's ready to kind of pounce on you, like you know, his shoulders broadened and his eyes went all crazy. And Jenny was just like, let's get this fuck out of here. I mean, it was really scary.
How old was he?
He was in his maybe late 20s or something.
Right, really?
He wasn't a teenager.
And what is the reaction? Was there a reaction of other people? Were there other
people? No, I mean, I had this horrible thing where, like, I wanted to kind of, like, challenge him.
Yeah.
And then for that split second, I thought, oh, my God, Ian Bainham died here.
Yeah.
For this exact same thing.
Well,
and it was really awful. And I was so shaken up, you know?
Well, what's awful about... I mean, it's awful on several levels, isn't it? It's awful that it happens. I don't mean that it's more awful that it happens in a place like London, but I find it more shocking that it happened. Because when it happened to us on a much lesser degree on the South Bank, which is where we're recording right now, actually, in the Royal Festival Hall, but, you know, one of the cultural centers of the country. And when it happens somewhere like here, someone was also killed here homophobically, you may remember.
Yeah, yeah.
And in Trafalgar Square, where it happens there. It's doubly shocking somehow because you're in the middle of a metropolitan city.
Yeah, I just thought, like, fuck off. This is my city. This is,
yeah,
like,
this is my
you know,
city.
This is,
yeah,
like, this is my safe space.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? And it's not to say that it's not this guy's city,
well, it's
too.
Well, everyone's city, of course.
But it's just like...
Did you report it?
Well, no, I didn't know what to do, to be honest. And I felt like, oh, my God, I'm always telling people they have to report homophobic crime.
Yeah,
but, like,
but then when
I
it happens to you,
whether...
then you don't know where the line is.
We didn't
report
it when it happened to us.
We didn't report it when it happened to us either. But I think, you know, we should really practice what we preach because ultimately, even if you weren't physically harmed or even mentally harmed, it's good politically... for the police department to know exactly how many homophobic abuse cases there were, even if it was just verbal abuse, because all of that goes into how much money they put towards this or how much police force goes towards that or what training happens there. So even though neither of us practiced that, it should always be reported.
I mean, it was also so, like, interesting because on the Saturday, the next morning, you know, I got the Guardian and there was, like, a full page article, I don't know whether either of you saw it, about the situation for gay people in Jamaica. And it was this profile of this guy who basically had been working with JFLAG in Kingston and had seen, like, some ridiculous number, like, six of his friends killed by the police, I'll have you know, that, and, like, he realized that he was, like, next on their hit list, and he managed to escape the country and actually get to a safe space. He's, like, applied for asylum and has been granted asylum, him and his partner. But it's a really scary situation. I mean, I think maybe we should try and get somebody from JFLAG.
Yeah,
show,
that's a really great idea.
Know?
And we should also talk to lovely Paul, who runs the Pansy Project. And maybe you and Jenny can have a pansy in Trafalgar Square, and we can have one on the South Bank. If you don't remember the Pansy Project, Paul is a lovely artist who goes around planting pansies at the site of homophobic abuse all across the country. And you know, ranging from really horrific, badly...
murders. Basically.
Yeah,
murders to just verbal things because, you know, as strong and as big and as proud and as confident as all of us are sitting around this table, I was still bugged by that the next day and the day after. And not that it changed your life in any way, but it does remind you of certain things. And it must have weighed on your mind a bit.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, you shouldn't feel that in your hometown. You shouldn't feel that if you live in a tiny town with four people.
Yeah.
You shouldn't feel that if you live in a metropolis with 4 million. It just shouldn't happen, basically. Yeah. So I'm sorry that happened to you.
Yeah.
Was there anything positive that happened this weekend? Did you have any fun times?
You're like...
I'm just trying to desperately pull us back up to a happy place.
No, but, you know, recording Homo Lab is always a highlight of my week. That's all I have to say.
We went to the cinema.
What did you see? Did you see Skyfall?
No, we're actually going...
No, we've seen that later.
Yeah, sorry. Right after this recording, we're going to see Skyfall.
Okay.
But we were going to go see Skyfall, but of course we couldn't get in because, you know, we left
late.
So have you heard of a film called Beasts of the Southern Wild? It was a big hit.
Is it a made-for-TV movie about your life?
No.
It should be, shouldn't it? It was a big hit in the London Film Festival, which was taking place at the BFI just next door to where we are right now. Amy, I boohoo cried. Like,
blubbering wreck.
Like, shook the row. Like,
really?
Cried.
We literally had to
like,
wait
had
in.
To sit through the credits to compose myself. Cried.
We were sat there till there was
were
no. You no.
You
see, I like the film. But, you know, I don't do that emotional stuff. It didn't, I mean, it was...
Oh, Lucio cries all the
He's
time.
He's crying now. Galen, you're crying.
I can't think about it again. It touched me so much. Lucio cries at, like, furniture commercials. So he does cry at lots of things. But he didn't cry at this.
The DFS ad and gets me every time.
The funny thing was, it's like, I can count on one hand the amount of times I've cried in the cinema or in the theater. Like, I just, it, you know, I can be emotionally moved by something and maybe get a bit misty-eyed, but actually... Tears roll down my face, cried.
Oh, my gosh.
The Ice Storm, I boo-hoo cried.
See, I didn't like that film either.
And it was kind of very similar to the way that I cried during The Ice Storm, because for both The Ice Storm and Beasts of the Southern Wild, I was sitting there thinking, like, oh, this is a bit emotional, but, you know, I mean, it's not quite done it for me. I mean, I get it, but it's... you know, like, not expecting to cry and then fully crying. It was a wonderful film.
You should go and check it out. It's about a little girl who's growing up in the... What are they calling them? Bayou, is it? By Louisiana?
The Bayou. Yeah. It's kind of, it's a community that sprung up on the other side of the levee in Louisiana.
Okay.
And, you know, it's kind of, there's kind of a Hurricane Katrina thing happening.
Okay.
But it's also very fantasy. There's fantasy elements
okay.
of it. In her, like, you're not sure what's in her head and what's real. And you know, she's kind of this little girl who's being raised, basically, to deal with anything that's... flung at her, and to not depend on anybody other than her and her community. And I have to stop talking about it because I'll cry again.
Okay. You should.
If anybody else saw that and cried, please tweet us at Homolab, because I can't be the only one. And if you've not seen it and you want a good cry, it's not easy to watch, but it's a wonderful film. Anyway, I'm going to move on. Like
yes,
I said,
let's move on. Shall we have some news?
Yeah, let's have some news.
Homolab.
Homolab. And this is from our friends at Gaystar News.
Well, President Obama is our friend. He opposes.
I'd say I've sent him my vote already.
Defense of Marriage Act. He said he's in favor of gay marriage.
Yep.
However, on Friday, he was on MTV and he told viewers that he wouldn't be pushing for gay marriage during his second term. He says, I've been very clear about my belief that same-sex couples have to be treated before the eyes of the law the same way as heterosexual couples. But he basically thinks it's up to the states to decide individually. Marriage is a state issue. And so he wants to leave it up to the states.
I think that I think he's not trying to rock the boat.
Yeah, I think he just wants to get reelected, to be quite frank. And, you know,
we have been saying, you know, that Lucio pointed this out, because we were watching, I don't know if you saw this thing about Obama's America that Matt Fry did for Channel 4, I think it was, where he kind of went touring around the southern states mainly, seeing what people thought about the 4 years of Obama. And it showed lots of clips of Obama campaigning then, lots of clips of Obama campaigning now. And the one really stark difference was that 4 years ago, it was such a positive, hope-filled campaign message.
And this year,
be it for whatever reason, because he has to or he's on the back foot or whatever, it's such a negative campaign.
Right.
And I think that that makes a huge difference. So I think in a lot of ways, in the way that I don't think that Romney is... Romney's hedging his bets as well, isn't it? I think they're all hedging their bets.
Yeah.
They just want to get reelected. He just wants to get reelected.
Yeah,
Romney
absolutely.
Just wants to get elected. So if they can toe the line down the middle, I'm not saying that's a good thing. I'm not saying that I support that. But I think it would be much better to have Obama not pushing for gay marriage than it would be to have Romney pushing for an amendment to gay marriage.
Well, I'll tell you what. All of this might never even happen if... Hurricane Sandy has its way, to be honest, because Frankenstorm is ready to hit the East Coast of America as we record. By the time you're listening to this, the whole Eastern Seaboard might have been wiped off the planet and be free-floating in the Atlantic Ocean. And if that happens, there is only a certain group of people to blame. And that's us, the homosexuals.
We're responsible. We've done it again. We forget how powerful we are.
I know. This is Chaplain John McTernan has said, the God's judgment of gays caused the hurricane nearing the east coast of the United States. It's already killed 60 people in the Caribbean. And he has said, you know what? On my Defend Proclaim the Faith website, he says the gathering storm must be God's judgment on gays and punishing the president Barack Obama for coming out in support of marriage equality.
So my question about this is, earlier on we were talking about Jamaica and the guy that's had to flee because of homophobic abuse, and apart from I think St. Martin and St. Bart's, homosexuality is illegal in every Caribbean country. So what was God's issue with the 60 people that died in the Caribbean?
Yeah. I'm sure that hurricane only chose the gay people living in Jamaica. Okay. Do you know what I mean?
Or like gay supporters. Yeah,
it's like selective, right, you know, okay. Hurricane death, of course. So Kel Surprise, yet again, some religious nutcase saying it's all our fault.
Okay.
So.
Well, you know, I'll tell you something that is our fault. We might not have to worry about God's wrath or the hurricane if we keep destroying ourselves from the inside. Because news has just come in that over the weekend, three men were found collapsed at a sauna here in central London, only a stone's throw from where we are. One of them was dead on the scene. Two of them are currently in hospital in critical condition. They haven't said what the cause was. Most people are assuming that it was drugs, because you may remember about a month ago now, that there was a warning from the police and in Vauxhall saying that, you know, there's bad drugs out there and there was some troubles in Vauxhall. And I don't know what to say about this, because I always find it so sad and infuriating at the same time, because we've talked loads on this podcast about how much more likely gay men specifically are to things like depression, alcohol addiction, drug addiction, and all of that stuff. And, you know, I mean, everybody likes to have a good time, and I don't want to sound like anybody's mother here, but when it gets to the point that you're so off your face that you can't deal with standing up in a bar, let alone kind of life, don't go to a sauna. You know, like, don't go to a sauna where your already stressed heart and mental condition is going to be made even worse by sitting in a steam room.
Well, we don't need hurricanes to destroy us.
Well, this
you
is
know,
what
you're
I'm
destroying
saying,
yourselves.
You know?
Well, there's not.
I don't know what the root cause of this is, you know.
I don't know. I mean, it's 8:15, Saturday morning. The guy that died, they haven't released any details about. A guy that's 46 years old was in critical condition. There's the 34-year-old man that's also ill, but he's expected to make a full recovery. 46 years old, 8:15, Saturday morning, in a sauna, off your tits on drugs.
I mean,
there's got to be we've got to question, you know, the acceptability on the scene of doing that, because that is acceptable.
Yeah, but the thing is that there's no reflection on, or very little reflection on, things like self-esteem and mental health and drug abuse in the gay community, like amongst gay men. Where are the gay men talking to each other about these issues?
Well men don't talk about
it. This is it. I mean, you know.
Yeah, but gay men are meant to be so sensitive. Mm.
But I think we're still men at the end of the
but
day.
But I think also that you
really
know,
talk about those fundamental things.
Yeah,
but
your community is like destroying itself.
It's destroying itself from the inside out. Exactly. We don't have to worry about getting homophobic abuse in Trafalgar Square. You know, we're killing ourselves by doing this. And by no means am I saying that I'm perfect and I've never done anything that I shouldn't have done. But I've always drawn the line. I mean, I've always been quite paranoid. And maybe that's just a paranoia thing. I've always been quite paranoid about certain types of drugs. You know, I can't imagine why I would drink some floor cleaner and think that I'm going to have a good time. Yeah, it may do something chemically to my brain to make me have a good time, but I'm always going to think I'm drinking floor cleaner.
Yeah.
And I've known so many people on the scene, either directly or indirectly, who have just on a normal, average Saturday night, have went out to have a good time and not woke up the next day.
Yeah.
And I don't think that that's fun. I don't think that the risk of possibly dying from something raises the stakes to a point that it makes it more fun and exciting for me. So wake up, guys. Stop doing that. What do you think about it? At Homo Lab. And that'll be our happy news from Gay Star News.
Homo
Lab.
Homo
Lab. Pay As You Gym is the new flexible way to access over 300 gyms in the UK with no commitments and no sign-up fees. We're offering you, listeners of Homolab, a free pass worth up to £15 to access a gym near you. Just go to payasyougym.com/Homolab. Pay As You Gym is simple and easy to use. You only pay when you go. That's it. So why not get started today? And as an extra benefit for you, you can take a friend along with you for your first visit. Absolutely free. Go to payasyougym.com/Homolab.
Homo.
Lab.
Homo.
Well, now we've got a special report for you directly from Shanghai, courtesy of Le Big J.
It is a huge city nicknamed the New York of the East, and indeed it looks very much like New York, but as if Chinatown had sprawled over. This is Shanghai. I was curious to know how the gay life was here, So when I arrived, I set out on a quest to explore the scene. My starting point was Eddie's, the long-established gay bar in the posh neighbourhood of the ex-French concession. The people in there were mostly locals, this means Chinese, and I started conversation with two guys. They told me the scene was very unstable, with bars and clubs constantly opening and closing or changing venues. They recommended the recently opened Club Obama and the Shanghai Studio. I also asked about their lives. They have gay friends and freely hang out at gay venues, but they are still in the closet with the rest of their friends, colleagues, parents and family. Although homosexuality was decriminalized a long time ago, the situation in China is like in Central Asia. It's not socially acceptable and still a very big taboo. Later, I talked to two whites, who told me about other gay hangouts and suggested to move to one of them. They took me to another more lively part of the ex-French concession, a stylish gay-friendly bar called Lola. They have live DJs and regular gay nights, which seem to be very popular. The crowd there is mixed, from fashionistas and sophisticated ladies to smart nouveau riche and stylish hipsters, but mostly white and only a few Chinese. The exact inverse proportion than at Eddie's. In fact, there is a big community of white people in Shanghai, mostly businessmen and language teachers. And I understood that the whites and the Asians don't mix together, so there are actually two separate gay scenes and a great wall between them. On the Saturday nights, I visited Club Obama, named after the US president. It is a large venue, a little outside the center of Shanghai. The building looks like a theater with a richly decorated facade, a vast esplanade with a fountain, a driveway, and a wide stairway entrance with a red carpet. Inside, the central dance floor is surrounded by lounges and a circular gallery from which long drapes and dazzling lusters are hanging. The place was packed with Chinese and only a handful of their white friends and admirers. It was funny to see that the go-go dancers were white guys. They weren't even so well built. I mean, a lot of Chinese have really fit and remarkably muscular bodies, and I tried one. But here in Shanghai, it's the whites that sell, white men particularly. They are used everywhere in advertising, and they appear in suit and tie next to a car at an auto show where we, in Europe, would have a Russian chick. Later, I also explored the Shanghai Studio, back in the more central ex-French concession. It is an underground labyrinth of several bars, lounges, and one dance floor accessed by a garage ramp. But you wouldn't even want to park your car there. It's damp and gloomy, and it was half full with sleazy middle-aged Westerners hanging out with their fag hag or Chinese friend who seemed to be doing business here. A so-called DJ was playing a drag-and-drop playlist of lame top 40 remixes. It looked, sounded, and smelled more like a cheap sex bar than anything of a decent club. I felt so uncomfortable I ran away quickly. A few days later, invited by a group of guys I'd met at my hostel, I went to a regular club called Ibiza. Large venue, mixed crowd, big and good sound, amazing lights. It was great fun. And again, as whites, we got free entry and free drinks all night. Shanghai was great and really a lot of fun. A destination I definitely recommend for an extravagant weekend where you'll also enjoy the fabulous food and cheap shopping.
Ho, mo.
Loud.
Ho, mo.
And if you want to find out more about where Le Big J is headed next, no doubt we'll be having another report from him soon. You can check out his blog, which is lebigjay.net.
So it's competition time, and it's the final chance you have to win this luxury weekend break in London, you and a friend, courtesy of World Rainbow Hotels. Basically, you've got to like our page on Facebook, search out Homo Lab, like that, and then like World Rainbow Hotels. We're in partnership with them, the website welcoming gay and lesbian travellers across the globe. If you search, select and book hotels, knowing you'll be treated equally, because there's nothing worse, really, is there, than turning up at a hotel with your partner and being asked if you'd like a twin room.
Yeah. Yes. It's embarrassing.
So, yeah, this is the last week to do that. So get liking. If you've already liked us, just go and like them. Or if you've already liked them, come and like us. And then you're in it. And we're going to draw it at the World Travel Market next.
Which is going to be next week.
Is that next week? Yeah.
We're going to do Homo Lab from there. So make sure you like us and like World Rainbow Hotels. Good luck.
Okay, now we're sat here at the Royal Festival Hall on the south side of the river. We're just going to shoot across the Thames into Leicester Square, where the lovely, tattooed and beautiful Margaret Cho has a residency at the Leicester Square Theatre. Our lovely friend David Mills has been opening up for her, and it's all been going down. Rather a treat if all the Facebook and Twitter posts or anything to go by. Margaret, loved by the gays, loved by the gays. So we asked David to have a little chat with Margaret He's just done his set to warm up the audience, and she's getting ready to go on stage, and they've been shopping.
This is David Mills backstage with Margaret Cho for Homo Lab. We're hanging around, having a drink. In between.
In between. So, sit over here.
Okay, I just did my opening moment for Margaret, and now we're chillaxing.
Chillaxing
with Margaret.
And my new handbag.
And, oh, God.
That Tracy.
Tracy Ammon.
Is that. Tracy Emin. Saw Tracy Emin, and I don't know who she is, but they know.
Mm.
Who knows who she?
Who is she? She's only the godmother of British art moment, super celebrity art person.
Yeah, that's good. I got this handbag that I love.
It's beautiful.
And you know, it's kind of like a. It looks like a little white. Little handbag. I guess it's a clutch technically, or it could be a crossbody, but there's no strap.
It's like a showpiece on your mantle, but it has a quietness about it as well.
It's like a handbag version of an Eames chair. You know, it's like a hard chair that like you know, it's a mid-century kind of. It's probably 1971.
It makes a lot of sense.
It's a really, really good bag, and
yep.
So it's white and it's got little navy stripes and.
And like brushed metal.
Yeah, I really love it. And so we showed it to her. She said it was like doll like, and that we had to be careful.
She pulled a face.
Well, she pulled a face, but I don't know if that was a face. I think that's her face.
It is her face. Her face has been pulled. Her face has been pulled.
But she was really not in agreement with it, and very cantankerous about it.
But fierce nonetheless.
Fierce, but you know, opinionated fierce, and then tried to show me her bag. Which was like a tote.
It was
like a leather tote.
It had given up structure. It was not playing that game.
No, it was like an unlined,
unstructured,
lawless, kind of very Swedish tote.
Yeah.
Which, and then, you know, she did make a point. She's like, well, look at what I like. And I saw that.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, you know what, you're right.
Yeah.
We're
yeah, you're different. Yeah.
We agree to disagree.
You're playing different games. You're playing entirely different games. But, you know, you're like running into each other at the Olympic Village. One of you is table tennis. One of you is...
I don't know.
Something else.
What sport is she? If she's...
She's sort
if
of
she,
mucking
she,
out the stables or something.
Yeah, what was she playing
she's
in the Olympics?
Like,
she's like...
shot put.
Maybe.
Women's shot put or...
Something. But it was a good... It was a very legitimate star sighting.
Ho. Mo.
Wow.
Ho. Mo.
And that was lovely, Margaret Cho and David Mills dishing about Tracy Emin.
Yeah.
I mean, what more could you possibly want? I want to see her bag now.
You love Tracy Emin.
I love Tracy Emin. I wouldn't be able to talk to Tracy Emin. I would be so nervous. But Margaret Cho's website, margaretcho.com.
Yeah.
And if you've seen her show here in London, let us know what you think. Or if you're going, or if you're going to Amsterdam, or you saw her in Paris or any of the other places. And don't forget, she's got a new DVD out as well.
She was on at Ducky on Saturday, and she absolutely stormed it. I mean, it's so great to have her back in London every time she kind of swings by these parts of the woods.
Yes, she was rammed on Saturday.
I know.
It was so busy. I didn't see you there. I turned up quite late, about midnight. But it was just like, boom, and like, new men. Where'd you get them from?
I don't know.
<It's>
they just keep
you've been
multiplying.
Going, like, 16 years, you still find new guys.
Yeah, they're like amoebas. They just keep splitting.
I can't wait till I can come back to Ducky. I can't go anywhere crowded at the moment.
Oh, because of your broken
toe. I'm convinced somebody's going to step on it. But when I get back from Tennessee in 2 weeks, I'm going to be at Ducky like nobody's business.
Good.
And probably break my other toe.
Well, I'll tell you what, I've got a little Twitter update for you. Thanks to all of our new followers. We are at HomoLab, by the way, in case we haven't mentioned that 3 zillion times already. But I just want to say a big hello to LGS Wins. That sounds a bit rude. Gavin P. Medford, Jobo One, Say Cheese LDN, hello. Rainbow Select, Amy Rose Draper, Halloweeners, and... Honestly, BB Gay Porno, really? I mean, come on. Anyway, you can follow us, please, at HomoLab.
Yeah, and hello to all of our new likes on Facebook as well. That's lovely, too. Okay, that's about it, isn't it?
That's it.
Cool.
Good luck with the competition.
Yeah, we've been the queers in your ears, and we'll see you next week.
Bye-bye.
Ho-mo.
Lab.
Ho-mo.
Lab.
HomoLab have teamed up with audible.co.uk to offer you, our listeners, a free audiobook of your choosing. All you have to do is register for a 1 month free trial to claim your free audiobook. There are over 60,000 to choose from. If you're in the UK, you can register at audible.co.uk/homolab. The 30-day free trial means you can choose a free audiobook, from sizzling biographies to the latest fiction or even classical works, which is yours to keep whether or not you decide to cancel in the trial period. Register now at audible.co.uk/homolab.